Chad, that'd be a mobile.
Hey, Jim, monitoring.
Jim, W4DJW, good afternoon.
How are you this day?
Doing pretty good. Headed out to the RC field to go do some flying, so couldn't be better.
For the fort, very little wind, so you should have a good flight.
Yeah, I seen Steve a few minutes ago. He said they're waiting on the wind out there at the airfield is up a little bit. They're waiting on it to die down. And it should be gone by the time I get there. So, perfect timing.
Flights have a way to work out. Sometimes it takes a little time.
What you up to this afternoon?
I'm rearranging my little closet that has all my junk in it. So, I've got it so full I can't find anything, so I'm going to rearrange it, clean it out, and organize it. And then when it cools off this afternoon a little bit, I'm going to lay some pine straw.
Well, who among us doesn't have straightening up our stuff to do? That's always on the list. Glad you finally got your round to it and you're able to work on that. That's a constant battle. That battle will never be won. But pine straw, you got a whole bunch of it or just a little?
15 bales and got about 10 more to go.
Had you using wheelbarrow to get them around, or are you just having to pick them up and carry them?
Oh, just pick them up and carry them. They hadn't got to go too far. I got them under the carport, and they just got to go on some flower beds nearby. So I've been doing it in the evenings when it cools off, or at least that was my plan, and I hadn't done it yet, so I'm going to do it today.
That's all pine straw instead of mulch. Last time my wife ordered a pallet of mulch from Lowe's, and that took a wheelbarrow. Put about 5 or 6 bags in a wheelbarrow and wheelbarrow it out to where you're going to spread it. And so those things are heavy. Not like, I'm sure pine straw, bales of pine straw get kind of heavy after a while. But boy, those multiple bags of mulch will wear you out. By the end of the day, you're tired.
We bought a ton of topsoil to fill in holes and do things, and that was definitely a workout. We did that last fall.
But older is supposed to take more of a toll on you, right? Is that the way it works? Because that's the way it's working with me.
My check engine light's on, so I have to watch what I'm doing. A couple of years ago when I turned 50, my check engine light come on, and I hadn't had it reset yet.
One way to look at it, that's what happens to me when I overdo it. That check engine light comes on, and I have to go sit down and check it for a while. It rests up until it goes out.
Just a little at a time. It's just, I got a bad habit of procrastinating, and at least at home, at work, I don't have that problem, but at home, I seem to procrastinate a little bit.
You know, you sacrifice one for the other. You can't do it all. You got to do what you can do. Secure the income first and then do the rest of the honeydews as time becomes available. And time and energy both.
Very true statement. What kind of RC plane have you got?
This is one that they built on Flight Test. That's a YouTube channel that's gotten pretty popular. And they've built several, they call them swappables. They're built out of foam boards. They have a power pod that you build, and you're supposed to only build one of those. And then you can build as many airplanes as you want. Just swap the power pod out, which uses the same controls, the same battery power, speed controller, and all that stuff. So I'm playing around with different speed controllers and motors and stuff like that, CNCing the parts out on a CNC, three-axis CNC router. so I can get good at cutting parts out and get a good flying airplane that's easy to haul. So I got three of them. I'm testing out different variations on each of them this go around. Nothing big. These are all small. They're called a FT Bloody Wonder. If you ever go look at Flight Test on YouTube, you'll see they've got quite a few videos on that one airplane.
I tried RC years ago, and I seemed to be able to take off, but that landing was always a disaster. So I never really got too heavy into the hobby.
Teach myself. I got several different kinds. Well, I was used to building free flights and U-Control. So RC was the next thing up. And this was probably when I was in my late teens and then again in my late 20s. Well, mid to late 20s. And tried to teach myself, and I had the same problem you had. Is I could get them launched, and I could get them flying. I could have a good time flying, but at some point, it has to come back to Mother Earth. And it was never quite as I had planned. So after busting them up, I could get them pointed in the general direction, but I didn't have the flare and all that stuff worked out where you could, you know, do your base, your downwind, your base, your final, and then flare at the right point. I never had all that worked out until I went and joined up at WCRC, and they taught me all of that. And then I started enjoying the hobby a whole lot more. So you can do it on your own. It just costs more, takes more energy, and takes a lot longer.
Gravity was my weak point. It seemed to make the Earth jump up. And that's been long ago when I was a young teenager. I hadn't fooled with RC since, well, that's been close to 35, 40 years ago. So I'm sure they're a lot more easy to work with. And like I said, you get in a club where people can help you out. But I just never pursued it.
That gravitational attraction between the airplane and the Earth, that's the clincher when each of them pulls the other one at each other at a high rate of speed builds up in between the two. Then when they finally meet, the Earth doesn't get damaged much, but boy, the airplane takes a beating. Sometimes beyond repair, sometimes not, but it's kind of fun to defy that gravitational attraction as long as you can. Eventually, it's going to win if you fly enough, right? Any airplane, any and all airplanes, eventually, that gravitational that overcoming that gravitational attraction, you're going to lose. Unless you just don't fly it, and then you don't. But what's the fun in that?
My goal as a teenager was to get a remote control helicopter, and I would look at them and look at the price and keep looking at them. And what I hear, they're very hard to fly, but I was always in awe of the helicopters, whether they be models or real ones. And when I went in the military, I got to fly on some as a medic, and the it's a lot more to it than you would think.
When I was a kid, my dad had a ham radio buddy who lived over on the north side of Wade Hampton. We lived on the south side of Wade Hampton. His name was Jim Whitted. I don't think he's still alive today, but he was a ham radio operator, had a tower in his backyard, put a star on it during the holiday seasons, and he flew helicopters like you're talking about back then. That was back in the late 70s, or early 70s, early to mid-70s. And he flew one back then. I always was in amazement when we'd go over to his house and I'd watch him fly that thing. There was no such thing as autopilots, which there are today. Today you have autopilots which have accelerometers, barometers. They've got all kinds of sensors, light sensors, barometric pressure sensors, and they can tell where they are and what they need to, the signals they need to send to the surfaces of the control surfaces, whether it's a helicopter, whether it's a multirotor or an airplane, a fixed-wing airplane, it doesn't matter. Flight controllers are in all of them now. And they even make learning easier, all right? Because with an airplane now, if you get in trouble, all you do is let go of the controls and it levels itself out and goes into level flight. And it never was that way before. They put dihedral in the wings to help with that, but it didn't always work. But nowadays, with flight controllers, it makes it a whole lot simpler. You can even program them to do pre-programmed flights, and all you do is launch them and watch. They'll even take off and land themselves if you spend enough time getting them dialed in to be able to do that. So it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more interesting. It's come a long, long way. But they were doing this back in the 70s when it was really, really hard. And the amateur radio operator is one that I knew that did it, that was able to do it. And it was really, as from then till now, it's a lot of fun to see the improvements. W4DJW.
MID? Yeah, it sounds like the, it's got a, sort of what they call the easy button now. I've looked at it, but it's a hobby that I just can't get the time for between work and just ham radio and American Legion and several other things you have to prioritize, and I hadn't quite got there yet with another hobby, so I'll just have to live vicariously through guys like you.
Well, that's the same thing I did through my 30s, 40s, and most of my 50s. My RC flying was far and few between, many years, decades in between sometimes. But now that retirement, I can smell the water. I'm a horse being drawn to water. And I'm getting back into it, ramping up my equipment to make airplanes, like the CNC router and the software, the CAD-CAM modeling software, that kind of stuff. Getting back in the swing so that by the time I do retire, I don't have to start over from scratch. I'll already have a running start at it.
Yeah, I'm 9 years from retirement, and I'll get to retire at 60. I work for the state, so I can start drawing my pension at 60. So my goal is to retire at 60 and then start doing some other hobbies. I'll have plenty of time then.
That's the normal. Yeah, the more you go, the more you get. But it is what it is. I don't know that I'm going to bank on living forever. There are too many people out there to prove that isn't true. So I'm going to go at 65, I think. I'm going to see what happens. It's looking pretty good for 65, which is a year and a half away from me.
You're right there on it, then. Like I said, I've got 9 more years, so... Or, well, 8 and some change. And I'll be able to draw a pension, and what I'll draw will cover me, so I'm not too worried. My wife is a few years older than me, so she'll already be, she's already retired. And actually, yesterday was 1 year she'd been retired, so we've been married a long time, 30 years, no kids, so we've set ourselves up to retire early and hopefully enjoy the golden years as long as we can.
There's ahead of us, we've got 23 or 24, maybe 25 years. She would be angry if she heard me not knowing exactly how many it was. But we got about 25 years between us. And she's behind me in retirement, so that's going to help ease us into it. When my regular paycheck goes away and it turns into the pension and the eagle flying, that's the way Ray used to refer to it. Once that happens, we'll be on the hers and that, and then eventually we'll be on her retirement, both of us on retirement. But she's about 7 years behind me, which gives us a nice smooth entry, right, instead of an abrupt entry.
Good way to do it. Ease into it. We sort of eased into it with her retirement, and so far, like I said, we've got a year anniversary, and things are still going smooth, so I can't complain. Good Lord's been good to us and blessed us, and we're just living our life and enjoying it. And hopefully when I retire, we'll get to do even more and enjoy more hobbies and just have a good time.
Don't live it so fast that you can't stop and smell the roses. Learn how to slow down. When I went through my 30s, 40s, and 50s, I was wide open the whole time, never slowing down to smell the roses. And now, as I get closer and closer to that end date, I'll take more walks with the dog outside. I'll pay attention to what's going on around me a little bit more rather than have my head down and doing nothing but working.
Half years ago, I had a stroke on Christmas Day, and luckily, they give me the clotbuster shot, and I had zero deficits after it. But that sort of woke me up and said stress and work is not what the what life is about. So I've made a lot of plans and a lot of changes since then. I sure don't want to have another one, and doing everything I can to prevent it. But I'm living life to the fullest. Right now, my major hobby is camping, and I go every chance I get. I love being outdoors and nature, so that's my getaway. I do IT work for a living, so I do something that requires no computers and no cell phones.
Me too, but I kind of like it. I kind of enjoy it because I do it at home as much as I do at work. But here I am here at the airfield. I'm going to get out. I see a half a dozen cars of other guys that are out there already, and I see the flag standing out perpendicular to the flagpole, and that's not good. But anyways, been good talking to you. Appreciate the ride over to the airfield. Maybe we'll catch you on the way back. W4DJW. I'll be clear after you.
You get to have some fun, so enjoy yourself, enjoy the fellowship of the other guys, and like I said, we'll catch you again. This is M4WHA.